I'm gon' win. You gon' win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning.
What's going on, Encouraged Nation? Listen, come on. This is Dr. Hickman, Pastor Hickman. You know, your cuz, your friend, your nephew, you know, your counselor. Also, I'm that next door neighbor. Look, we're always coming to do what? To encourage you. This is what we do. This is about your faith. It's about fashion. It's also about entrepreneurship. It's about family. It's about dynamics in life. And it's about discussing the topics that are current and some of the things that we want to know more things about. But most importantly, again, this is a biblical platform, but we do have open, candid conversations. Again, the guests don't always know what's going to be said, but they're always prepared, I believe, because I believe that destiny is always a part of everyone's journey. So as we get ready to walk through this thing, you already know what I'm going to say. Joshua's 1:9. What is that? Have I not commanded you what? Come on. Have I not commanded you what? Be strong and what? Courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed. For what? The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I'm coming to tell you today, Encouraged Nation, God is with you. He's supporting you. I need you to listen this year. In 2025, we're going to listen for the voice of God. And what does that mean? We're going to slow things down. We're going to process it. And don't keep talking about what happened in 2024. There were some great things and there are some things we need to do, but there is a new opportunity in 2025. Let's move this thing forward. So again, I just want to tell you that this platform is all about bringing people in and collaborating. I am in where? New York City, one of the best places in the world. I love the energy. I love being here. I came to talk to a young man, Tahid, his fashion, things he's doing, and he connected me with some great people. And so right now, today, what I'm going to do is have a candid conversation with a young man. His name is Talik Hill. And when I tell you he is doing some amazing things and the introduction that happened from the time I saw him walk into the restaurant, things of that nature, I said, I want to talk to him. So while we're in New York, that's who we're talking about. So again, I want you all to welcome right now, Mr. Talik Hill is in the house. Mr. Ty, Mr. Visionaire. Come on, tell him about yourself on Encouraged Nation.
Well, I definitely appreciate you having me here. And like you mentioned, Tahid, you was here to see, and, you know, Ty and Todd, you know, we work hand in hand. But my name is Talik, Mr. Visionaire. Yeah. Most people know me as that. And back in the days, they used to call me Mr. Vocab because I had an online fashion and entertainment magazine.
Yeah.
But now I'm more into production, doing the things that I did for my magazine for other individuals. So, you know, we're into the entertainment field. Uh-huh. Also, we work with a lot of athletes, actors, things of that nature as well, too. But we also here for the people. People always like a lot of my clients, they'd be like, yo, we love Ty. He's here for the celebrities.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not about the celebrities. It's about the people. That's who I work with.
Yeah. And then we can't forget Stalin. Stalin also is the connector of all of that, you know, introductions and things of that nature. So again, Stalin, amazing behind the scenes guy, but a wealth of knowledge. And so, again, we got to surround ourselves with people who think like us or either people who are thinking ahead of us in order for us to get to where we need to go. And this meeting here today, again, is an impromptu. Mr. Visionary said, I'm going to meet you, man. I threw my shot. and he said, you know what? I think I'm able to do that. And so I appreciate you taking the time out to speak to me. Yes, this is a new podcast, a new opportunity. But what I believe is that when iron sharpens iron, then come on, we're going to both be blessed. We're going to both get sharpened by the encounter and what we're going to be able to do from this opportunity, a collaboration, meeting. I don't believe things about happenstance. I think things are always ordained. It was set up for me to be here at this time, for you to come to that restaurant and walk through. All of that was the setup because that's what he do. That's how God do it. It's intentional. You know, everything is that, man, we're going to get back to that. But listen, I told him we have rapid fire just to open this thing up a little bit. So we're going to get about 3 minutes toward this. And then what I said, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? You don't have to think too hard. There's no right or wrong. But it's also about allowing the audience to be able to engage and connect with us on our podcast together. So when I start to say, what's the most surreal moment you've experienced in your career so far?
I know you said rapid fire. I'm going to make it as quick as possible. We can go back to this.
Yeah.
But the most surreal moment that I had was back in the days when Jay-Z, he did a launch for Tidal. I wasn't invited, and somebody hit me up and asked me, did I know the address? I didn't. I got the address, sent it to them, and they said, why don't you come? I'm like, I'm not in the mood for that. Lay back down, and then, like you said, everything is ordained.
Yeah.
Energy in me. And of course, when I say energy, that's God and the universe.
Yeah.
Get your butt up, get down there, and we can go into that a little later. But I met some people that it was an amazing experience. So that let me know that my steps are already ordained and guided. So that keeps me staying in my faith and staying focused on the path that he has me on.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And then we said, who was the biggest inspiration growing up? What was your biggest inspiration?
My biggest inspiration, wow. It's different fields. Like you have film, you have actors, athletes. But I have to say, Mike was definitely one of them.
Okay.
And in the film industry, I would say Spike Lee.
Okay.
So those are the two I would say for now, but it's a lot more.
Oh, man, I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Ty is in the house. What's the best advice you've ever received in the industry so far?
Ooh, we're going back to Starlin right now. Because like you said, he's the glue, but Starlin, he's just full of information.
Yeah.
And I can't say the best advice because anytime I speak to him is the best advice.
Yeah.
So staying focused on what I do and making sure I have a plan.
Yeah,
and writing down your plans. He told me, make sure you write everything down. Yeah. But it's a lot more to that.
That sounds like a little Habakkuk right there, right? The plan to make it, ready to plan to make it plain, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now we say, if you could swap lives with any entertainer for a day, who would that be?
I don't think nobody. I don't think I would want to swap lives with an entertainer.
Okay.
I mean, I love who I am. God made me who I am. And
yes,
I think
sir.
This is who I want to be. The only person I would say I would swap with would probably be, can't even think about that right now. Honestly, because I don't think I would want to sweep. I love who I am and I love who God made me to be. See,
and I think that that's important.
Yeah.
That we understand that, you know, a life is a life and people get their own plight and what they do, which is wonderful. But however, what I do, I said, that's one of those questions I'm going to throw and see what he's going to say. And he said, what's one thing your fans would be surprised to learn about you?
Fans?
I don't know if I have any
fans.
I see your page. I see the people you hang with. Come on. What do you think that's it?
Something surprising they would like to know about me?
You can cornrow.
All right, so one of the things I like to do is ground myself.
Uh-huh.
And I either go to Central Park or Gantry State Park, which is in Long Island City.
Yeah.
When it's warm, not in this state in New York, when it's cold. Yeah. But when it's warm, take my shoes off, I pray, I meditate, and I focus on the future and all of the goals and aspirations that I have. I fall short sometimes, but that helps me to stay on track.
What was your favorite movie? Or what is your favorite movie?
Oh, that is tough. I mean, offhand, I would say Coming to America. I don't know. It was something about the way, you know, Eddie was a genius.
Yeah.
And I was a young kid when that came out. That's always going to be one of the classics. But also Malcolm X, a lot of Spike Lee movies that I really loved. And then I also like the action movies, too. Things with Jerry Bruckheimer, Michael Bay, things of that nature.
Oh, that's it. You're talking about Coming to America. Listen. My wife and I really connected on Coming to America. That was our first in-home date where I was talking to her. And she was like, you know, I like this movie. And I was like, what? And I said, what? What are you talking about? And so she was talking about Coming to America. So it's amazing that you mentioned that. And so again, you said something that I thought is very resonating. You mentioned Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I have admired his work. I've admired him as an advocate. And the things that he do. And if I were to say someone that I look at as a mentor that you see in the game doing things in a way that I think is getting the attention of people, but very intentional with everything that he's doing, what would you say about just Spike, just us get ready? I know we get ready to move on, but that's a question. I'm gonna add that one. And that's not even rapid fire. That's just a question.
I was going to say, it's going to be hard to make that rapid fire. Because I actually have a history with Spike, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a small history, but at the same time, expands over decades. Because I remember one of the first movies that I went to see as a teenager in the movies by myself was not do the right thing, school days.
Oh, man, not school days.
And I went to school at, people used to call it Rothschild 113. It's okay. Right up the block from Fort Greene Park, which is the area, I didn't notice at the time, but this was the area where he actually lived in. So coming from school one day, I'm just, and this is after we saw school days, yeah. It was me and a couple of friends, and I'm looking across the street, his walk was so distinct. The way he was walking in, do the right thing up the block, he actually walked like that for real.
Really?
So he was just walking away, and I'm like, is that Spike Lee? And we crossed over the street, and it was him. I'm like, oh, my. You know, I was kind of blown away, but at the same time, it was a moment to where I didn't wig out, I didn't fan out. Yeah. I was just like, yo, I really appreciate your movie. And I think from that moment, I had a different feel. Like, I always loved movies as from a little kid, but it was something about the way I felt about his movie, knowing that he made it was his, and he used people like us and had us on the big screen, and it became a big movie at that time as well, too. So, you know, moving fast forward into the future, he was actually working with another friend slash client of mine named Anthony Lally. And if anybody that know Anthony Lally, he was big in the real estate game, but now he's into film, television, and media. And he had a birthday party at his house. So I was there to take the pictures and do a little bit of video. And we sat down in his theater in the house and we watched Crooklyn. And I believe it was Do the Right Thing for his birthday. And it was like a party first in the poolside. Yeah. Then we went to the theater and watched the movie then. And then me and Spike kicked it for a little while. I told him about that moment when I saw him when I was a kid. And then fast forward a couple of years after that, I was at the Barclay for one of the Jordan Classics.
Okay.
And I think this was the year when Trae Young was in it. It was a couple of people, Trae Young, a couple of guys from Denver. But me and Spike were sitting next to each other courtside. And, you know,
I'm going to talk about that courtside. You know, I'm always looking for him. When they showing him Knicks, I am looking for Spike on the side.
And we in Brooklyn now. And then I told him, I'm like, do you feel a way that we sitting in Brooklyn right now? Like, we got to represent because we from Brooklyn, but we are both diehard Knicks fans. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's a thing to where I root for Brooklyn. I don't know how he feel about Brooklyn. I root for Brooklyn, but it's Knicks over everything.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, though. But yeah, I had a nice, like I said, this history spans over years, but it started when I was a kid, and that was one of the inspirations of me wanting to be in the film.
Yeah. See, that's a positive thing when we're seeing our own doing positive things. And I think that that's so very important that we stay on the side of positivity. And that's one of the things I always felt about him. So I was glad that's a good segue to someone who is withstanding the test of time, you know, and timeless. You can call his name, you can say it, and I know this is no sale for Spike Lee. I'm just saying that as somebody I have admired and moved through, and now to hear you saying it. And also a young man in Richmond actually did a painting for him. His name is Stanley Raphael, actually. And so he was able to do one of his paintings. And so I was saying, man, you got Spike Lee? He was like, yeah, man, we did it. So we saw the paint and everything that he was able to give to him. So I believe he still has it somewhere in his house here in New York. So those are the things when we start talking about vision, we start talking about what is it that God has? How is he feeding you through vision? So let's talk about faith. And then we're going to kind of move in because you mentioned meditating. You mentioned trying to go to the park, taking yourself to a place where you're able to here to think and to reflect on where I've been maybe and where I'm going. So how were you introduced on faith, and where is there a church here in New York that you attended or attended that you thought was a very inspirational to you?
All right, so that is another long story, but I'll be as brief as I possibly can. So of course, like, you know, any of us, in the household, especially with, you know, my age, I'm kind of up there, you know. So growing up, we were always in the church, and it was started from the foundation, which is usually the matriarch of the family, which is my grandmother. So it was two churches I went to. I know my mother was a member at this church called Washington Temple. Okay. She was, you know, in the choir and things of that nature. So I used to go there, and I used to enjoy the music. The music used to move me. That was another part of my life, that's big music. And then also my grandmother, she went to a church, and the name of it was Berean Baptist Church. And that's in, I believe, Crown Heights, if I'm not mistaken, in that area. And as a child, I used to, you know, go to Sunday school. And, you know, I had fun. I could honestly say I had fun meeting people. I was in church plays. I actually played Moses. Uh-oh. My grandmother, she was a seamstress. So, she, you know, she created my my outfit.
Yeah.
And it kind of blew everybody away once I came out, you know, on stage, because it like opened up the curtains. That was like one of my big moments too. They opened up the curtains and the light went on. You heard everybody like, oh, like going and on. And I knew it was going to happen because my grandmother was dope as a seamstress as well too. But, you know, with that, my faith was very strong then and going to church. And then, you know, unfortunately, when I turned 10, my grandmother passed away. And when she passed away, my faith and the way I felt about being in church kind of changed.
Okay.
You know, I started becoming a knucklehead in school. I started doing other things, running around, cutting class. You know, it got a little bad. And then, you know, luckily my godmother took me in when I was a preteen and I moved down to Maryland. So I was living in the DMV area for a few years.
DMV?
Yeah, absolutely. D.C., Washington, Landover, Maryland. I used to actually work in Pentagon City at Macy's and stuff. So, you know, those are the memories that I can go back to with that part. Then as I got older, it was a time and, you know, I got to bring this in. This is a part of my history. I had got locked up and I got locked up for something I didn't do. Okay. So in the time of fighting that, you know, I was reading a lot, focusing on learning the law. So because the way I got locked up, it shouldn't have happened. And, you know, learning the law and also knowing and understanding that if I didn't get locked up, it was other things that I would have got into and it could have been worse. So, you know, I started praying a lot more. I started getting more faith-based as opposed to religion-based. Right. That's the way I feel now. And instead of me listening to what everyone else was saying, I had my own personal relationship with God. And I think everybody needs that. Yeah. You know, it killed the noise, you and God, just y'all two untainted. That's just my opinion. And, you know, with that being said, fast forward and being that you're here now, everything happens with a purpose and a reason. Just before I met you, a couple of days beforehand, my daughter actually was baptized. And I know I was telling you the last time I was in this spot where we at right now, I was at a friend of mine's bachelor party.
Okay.
And my daughter was 3 at the time.
Yeah.
She'll be 20 next month. So she just took her step and she has a church that she go to. I forgot the name of the church. It's on Fulton Street. I really forgot the name, but she goes there with my mother.
Yeah.
So she's having a great time and I love to see that. So, you know, I kind of broke down a little bit seeing her getting baptized and knowing the direction she going in and the light that she shines in the church that she in. Everybody was coming up to myself, her mother, her grandmother, well, both grandmothers, my mother and her mother's mother.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a beautiful thing to see how she has an effect on everything. And after she was born, that definitely propelled my faith into a different direction, because I knew it was not only about me being in tune with having that kind of relationship. I knew it was important for me to bestow upon her a path that she needs to find for herself. And she did that all by herself.
Yeah.
Like, I never encouraged her to do, you know, she always told me she believed in God, but I was never saying, go to church, you need to do this, you need to do that. She got up on her own and started going to church with her grandmother. And here we have it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. To be able to have this conversation, you said, wow, she was just baptized.
Just baptized.
And to be able to hear that and be able to witness that, I believe that, again, you gave her a choice. You know, we come to expose and to guide them in the light. But again, as we are adults, and like you said, we'll make some decisions, do certain things, but we also want to show our kids this way. And there are options, but you have to choose the right path for yourself. But I believe in how you are moving also helped influence. And then you say your mom, again, helped her by introducing her again. And, you know, usually it's that lineage that we are connected to the foundation. And you mentioned that. My grandmother was me, too. My grandmother used to have the radio on all the time, you know, listen to the gospel. I was like, Grandma, why you turn that TV off? But she knew something I didn't know then. And she was always covering herself. She was covering her kids, things of that nature. And that now, and now I'm a preacher as well. So it's like, you knew at that time when I used to come in. And then I stopped complaining about it. And I was listening like, okay, I can understand that. And they didn't look like us. But however, I started carving out what I needed to for my life and where I am today. So I understand salvation. And like you said, I'm saved. I understand that. But I'm understanding my relationship with the Father. Not the religion, but my relationship. And that's what we are encouraging everyone to understand. What is your relationship? What is the what's the thing that helped you to get up? You know, what is it that keep you grounded when life is throwing you so many curves up and down? And that would throw me to my next one. We're in New York. It's busy. It's always something going on. You got the music. You got photography. You got eating places. You got so many opportunities that you could delve into. Why did you choose the path that you are on right now as a visionary?
Well, this is his plan. It's not mine. Right. I just made it mine. Yeah. So I think it was already chosen. And it just took time is everything, and everything happens on that time, and it's never our time, and it's always God's time. And, mm-hmm. and just knowing and understanding that we all here to serve a purpose, you have to figure what that is, why you're here. I mean, our time is very limited, but at the same time, he's given us the same 24 hours a day to do the things that you're supposed to do. And me personally, God talked to us all the time, every day, each one of us.
Yeah.
And
definitely,
you have to listen with more than just your ears. You have to listen with your heart.
Yeah.
And you have to listen with your eyes.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. You have to see when he's talking to you as well, too, because there's certain things that are presented to you that are actually stories that you have to read into and listen and pay attention to. So that's just my perspective from it, you know. And I always speak, anytime I speak, I say this is my perspective because everybody, everything is about perspective. And the way other people may view their relationship is going to be totally different than the relationship I have. Or the way they feel that they should go about having that relationship can be different. Like me personally, I love communing with people of faith.
Yeah.
But I like to, I love to commune by myself most of the time.
Yeah.
But from time to time, I do go into church. I love going to church at times. When I do have the time, because, you know, with the industry that I'm in right now, it's rarely often that I have that much time to delve into it. And I'm not making excuses. I don't want to say that because we make time for whatever we want. But right now, I just think that he has me on a path and on a direction to where I know me. I have my own issues. ADHD, my attention span can go all over the place. And that's the one thing that I always revert back to. And that's my meditation, my grounding. And also praying and talking to God to keep me online, even though I go all over the place at times as well, too.
But he understands all that. And that's a great thing.
Yeah, he knows me.
And not everyone is going to be inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're going to take. Again, we make disciples. But also, one thing that you mentioned was being the light. You say your daughter being a light and how she lights up and people are drawn to her. And I see you. When I saw you, you came in the restaurant, I was saying, I said, it was a dim place. But however, when you walked into the environment, I said, man, there's something on this guy. I don't really even know him, but I would love to get to know him and understand more about him. So what is that light? Why are people, how am I say that? Why are people attracted to you?
Well, before I go into that, I appreciate the words, but like you said, it's a dim place. It's very dim lit. But there was a light reverberating around that table where you guys were at as well, too.
Wow.
So I think it's something that is a reciprocal feeling.
Yeah.
But for me, I can't say I know what it is. I just know that I'm authentically myself.
Yeah.
And I was told that I'm a healer and I'm a very, wow. I'm very pretty much an empath. So I put other people before myself. And I know that's wrong at times, but for me, I get a lot of joy at seeing something that I can do to bring to the table to help someone else better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only my daughter. I mean, she's the main one. Everything that I do is mainly for her. But at the same time, I love meeting energy. Mm-hmm. And some people just have an energy that feeds me as well. So as much as I'm getting fed that energy, as much as I'm getting fed that energy, I like to always reciprocate that and put it back out into the universe because that's what we're supposed to. That's why the earth is round. Everything is in a full circle. And you have to keep the energy recycling. Yeah. If it's not through me, it's through you, and it's through you, through them, and then back over to me, it's always going to come back around. So what you put into the universe is actually what's going to come back to you. And I think everything that I put into the universe does come back to me. You know, we're going to have obstacles and, you know, setbacks,
yeah.
but that's a part of us learning and growing. So attracted to me. I mean, the attraction that I have, I think it's just the energy. Yeah. And it's energy that I'm getting from other people, yeah. you know, and things of that nature. So that's how I feel.
Yeah. I think that that's a good way of looking at it. And again, you know, what people see when we present ourselves, right? We can put on things which are great, dressing up the outside, but I believe also it's the inside. It's that place you say about being a healer. It's that place of where I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. Because we talked about, you know, who would you trade places with? You know, what, you know, who is it out there that you think? And you said, no, I feel good in who I am right now. Now, I probably could have asked that when you were probably 18. And it might have been like, oh, yeah, well, I met so-and-so. I wish I am him. But now I'm at a place where I'm okay with being me. I'm okay with being me. And so in your vision right now, have you gotten to all of you, or do you see that there's still so much more to still come out of you?
For me, there's always going to be more, you know, love, peace, happiness. That's a daily that's a daily pilgrimage. Yeah. You have to do that every single day. It's not one time you're going to be like, oh, I'm finally happy, you know, because days change, you know, and you're going to go through good times, you're going to go through bad. So you have to work through things on a daily basis. So for me to say that I'm finally me, I think that every day I'm going to learn more and grow more each and every day until I return to from where I come.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so I think that that's something to where I always want to improve. I want to improve each and every day. And I also want to learn. You know, I like to go, I don't want to say I like to, but I understand going through trials and tribulations because that's the things that are going to help us to become our greater selves. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Because I never will be.
And that's good. And I was going to see what you're going to say or that one. I say, you know, because sometimes we can get to the place where we become very comfortable and we say, we're here. Me coming here to New York, right? They have an opportunity and say, God said, this is what you need to do. This is the day you need to do it. And I already had this ordained and set up for you. You're like, okay, but I got to trust him. You mentioned the plans. Again, we want to be in God's plan. We want to be in his will in order for us to be able to get that in which he has for us. But even with this Encourage podcast, it's about, again, helping someone that they're talking about their vision. They're not certain exactly what's happening right now. Maybe some things were hot at one time and then it kind of slowed down and then they kind of lost hope because they thought that, I guess maybe the season's over. It's not because maybe they're not getting as many likes on Instagram, you know, TikTok and all those kind of things. And it messes with your mind. And so you have to understand that. So being around a lot of influential people, how did that help to influence you? Or were there any moments in time where you kind of felt like maybe I shouldn't be here?
I can honestly say I felt both of those.
Okay.
I felt both specters because some people you get around and you see, you know, especially when you're around these celebrities or people in the light.
Right.
So often you realize how much of a human being they are. Sometimes we take that human factor away from them because they're out entertaining the world or pleasing the world. And we think that they're something that we're not, but we're all the same.
Yeah.
And I realized that just like us, they go through the same type of emotions, the breakups, the heartaches, the disappointments. You know, sometimes they may be in a tough spot to where they're not where they, you know, assume they would be. And they had to take, you know, a step back to reevaluate what they need to do for their careers and for their families. Mm. You know, so, you know, at that point, I realized, like, I have to focus more. I have to, you know and understand the things that I want to do are plans just like how they had plans. It may be in a different field, but it's still plans. And they have to go through the same trials and tribulations we do. And then on the other spectrum of that, sometimes I feel like, is this where I want to be? Because it's a lot of things like, it's not always what it seems either. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things, you know, you see the glitz and the glam and then, you know, the internal things that go on. It's like, do I really want to deal with this? I mean, like I said, I love where I'm at from the production side and being behind the camera. But the things that go on behind the camera before you see all of that finished product in front of the camera can be challenging as well, too. And everybody's not built for that. You know, a lot of people see, you know, people loving them. And like you said, the likes on Instagram or TikTok and the views and things of that nature. People want to be seen.
Yeah.
Everybody want to be seen, and now everybody has that platform. And then they always compare themselves to these other celebrities that they may look up to. But little do they know that you have your space. Everybody has a space. And you have to do the best that you can within that lane that you have and make the most of it, because you never know who you're influenced. You can be influenced by celebrities, but there could be somebody that's on the up and coming, seeing what you're doing and very inspired by you. And a lot of people take that for granted as well, too. We all have these platforms, and sometimes I think we overstimulate each other with the fact that we all have something to say. And sometimes it's the wrong things. Yeah. You know, we need to learn how to really influence and touch each other in a different form. That's just, you know, just something that I feel that is missing within the industry itself. But yeah, I can say that I agree with both sides. I can say that times when I don't want to do it, and then there's some individual that I work with that makes me want to stay focused even more.
Yeah. So who, and let me ask you a question about this. Mm-hmm. And you brought up being human, which I think is so important, because a lot of times we can idolize people and make them a god, as opposed to understanding that they're human. And then we can have judgments if they don't measure up to what it is that we believe they should be. That everyone goes through opportunities. They go through things. They go through trials and tribulations are just a part of our journey. And then also, you know, sometimes we cast people away because of certain things, as opposed to seeing a reformation, you know, a reform and a rebuilding of them and people, or a second chance. Sometimes we do that. And so as we look at those things, who do you think so far that you work with, they said, I was really surprised. And when I say surprised, meaning a good way, we may have thought something different just based on what we read on social media, somebody else who knew them, but they were an amazing person to work with. I will work with them again. I know we mentioned Spike, but anybody that you come off outside of? It could be one or two.
I mean,
this is not, let make sure I tell the public, listen, this is not the only people that he's talking about, but it is something that I'm saying, hey, what would you say?
The reason why I picked this person is because the way people see this individual in the public light.
Okay.
So I'm working on a project with a friend of mine, and he's somebody that's from way back in the days, back in the days when Rockefeller, the record label was being built. And his name is Steve Mack. And he works, him and Dame Dash are very good friends.
Okay.
So, you know, we work on a project that's supposed to talk about the beginning stages of that and how everything came together. So we went to Dame Dash's house, and he lives in Florida. Well, one of his houses, It was surprising the way he is, because, you know, a lot of people, especially from back in the 90s, I know he's, you know, it's kind of a hothead. People would call him an a-hole, the way he is, the way he speaks. Even to this day, a lot of the things he say, but getting to know him and being in the household with his family, how he's focused on business and building things with his wife and his son. You know, he has a younger son. Mm-hmm. They're doing things where they're building a big business with the entertainment field as well as the education field, because they have schools and things of that nature. But aside from all of that, just his mannerisms, the his relationship with his wife, the relationship he has with his child, and the things that he wants for us too. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes it may come off a little harsh and a little too rugged for some people to understand, because it's coming from a place of love. But I was surprised. And like you said, there's plenty of people that I can pull out and say, oh, this person is so sweet. This person is this, that. It's people that I can say was a-holes for real. And you had mentioned one of them, and I'm like, I love that guy to death too, but he can be, there's some of them out there that's just, you know, the way they are as a person, business wise and in front of the camera, great. But, you know, Dame in front of the camera may appear to be one way, but when he's not in front of the camera and he's really focused on family and business, that surprised me. And the way he welcomed me into his house, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand I was with his friend and stuff like that, but we hung out for a whole weekend and was filming and talking about his network. He has a network called The New Network. It's something where you can stream films, and he's taking in content because he wants us to have the majority of our intellectual properties. And you'll get the majority of that on his platforms. But, you know, it was a surprise with how he was and meeting him in person. Because I met him several times, but actually getting to spend those couple of days while we were filming was a different feel and a different energy that I had gotten being around him. And, you know, a lot of people still speak differently. And I'm always like, it's not really like that. I mean, I know you feel the way you feel. You're entitled to that.
Sure.
But I've been in his presence and worked around him and understand him from a different light now.
Yeah. And
that surprised me.
That's great, because I've watched him, too, over there. You know, so I'm watching, you know, I don't know him personally, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is the year of opportunities where, you know, you'll be in places where you get chances to meet people like that. But also is what we bring to the table. Again, him probably welcoming you in was, again, being that light coming in, being at peace and being in an environment, again, that was receptive and not so so starstruck. But being able to say, look, man, we're coming to do a thing. Here's what we're going to do, what you need. And also, like you said, the energy of feeding into what he is doing and buying in. But then knowing that he's setting up some things. He's setting up legacy for us that people may not know. I didn't know that. And now there's a platform that is there. And so, again, hey, Damien, call me. You know, you know, it's just those kind of things that you start to look at, that we're creating platforms and opportunities for the word to get out, things to change, and being in those environments really is, I think, is necessary. And to take what you've learned and then to give back. So I'm going to ask you that question. So all that you have learned, how do you think you're going to give back to that next generation? Or have you already started? You may already have nonprofit things that you have that you want to talk about. What would that be?
Yeah, so I have to definitely talk about a real good friend of mine that I met a very long time ago, about 25 years ago. And the way that I met her, she had just started a nonprofit organization. And it was based upon, you know, women being at risk at first, but it's called Share for Life.
Share for Life.
And the first project we worked on, I was there supposed to be working on the soundtrack, because at that time I was a producer, I had artists and things of that nature, and I was an artist myself as well. And I was on her set just basically to do, you know, make music that would go according to the soundtrack of what was going on in the, it was a, you know, an independent film, but it was a short film as well too. So I wound up auditioning too, just because a friend of mine, his girlfriend had told us about the opportunity. So he was going there to be an actor. And I was like, you know what, let me audition too. But lo and behold, I wound up becoming an actor. The sound guy. And so this is I started doing things. And like I said, we became good friends. But I go back to Share for Life. That was based upon doing things within the underserved communities in NYCHA for the most part and in the education system. So we basically was taking people in NYCHA, which are the projects, the elders, the youth, the teens, on retreats, take them to like DC, Baltimore, the Great Blacks and Wax, the Smithsonian once they opened up. And this was basically giving them the opportunity to see some of our great individuals that help us to be who we are in this day and age now. So the way I give back is always to the underserved community. Now, with the knowledge that I have been given with connecting with the people that I have connected with and doing the things that I do, I work with other younger producers or aspiring producers or photographers. I have a few friends that's like, yo, my son is doing this, my son is doing that, or, you know, my nephew needs this opportunity. And I have a list of people that I go down the line, and if there's opportunities for them, I hit them up like, yo, you want to come with me to this job? Have them come shoot with me, see things from behind the scenes, and then learn on their own. There's one guy that I was working with before. His name is Brendan Forbes. He's a big photographer now, but I used to just take him with me to different events. He wound up connecting with, what's this girl's name? Christina Milian first. Okay. No, what's the, not Chris, he did Christina Milian as well too, but what's this other girl's name? I forgot her name. But he shot her, and then it turned into him shooting, you know, lo and behold, I can't remember her name, but it turned to him shooting Kim Kardashian, Swiss Beatz and his wife. He actually, Swiss Beatz's wife, what's her name? Alicia Keys. Sorry, Alicia. So she did this iconic Jamaica reshoot that, you know, there was the Jamaica thing that, you know, is wet and it says Jamaica and the girl is just figured out. He did that shoot with her and that became viral. So a lot of people started, you know, reaching out for him to do a lot of photography. He moved out to California and it was just straightforward after that. If you look up Brendan Forbes, you'll see what I'm talking about.
We're going to look him up. Oh, that's for sure.
Brendan Forbes. So that was one of the guys that I actually worked with that became extremely big.
Wow. Yeah. But what I heard was the seeds. And like I said again, I had a feeling. Mm-hmm. I have not seen this anyway, that you were already doing that. That's why I wanted to do it. Because again, sometimes people see perceptions of different things. They see you with the celebrities. They see you doing this and your name's in the entertainment world. But they don't know that you're giving back. Mm-hmm. And that you're saying, hey, I'm going to teach one and I'm going to sow a seed into someone that you're calling somebody saying, hey, you know what? Let's connect. Because even when we met, I mean, you know, he's like, what's his IG? Look, I'm just coming up, y'all. I'm just being honest, right? I'm not here, there. But I said, if I can influence or impact one person or do something, and then on this journey, who else do you need? You know, and it's not saying, hey, Ty, I need to connect with you just so you can get me in your world. And that's not the energy I like to give. I'm like, what can I learn from you? What can I hear from you? And to be able to see if there's anything encouraging, that's what we want to do, is be able to get out there and show people that whatever we do, we need to be showing somebody else that. And it's not always about how much money you can get from someone, showing them a gift, showing them talent. And as we say in Courage Nation, when I look at that, who are we going to influence? Who is it on your journey that you have been called to? That's it. I think that's the who is it that you can be able to say one day, that they may have taken off past where you are or surpassed some of the things you even thought about. Are we going to be jealous? Or are we going to be encouraged by their success and how they're moving? And then also I would say, if you know someone that you're working with and you can give them a word of encouragement in order for their platform, where they're going to go. See, talking to Ty is really amazing opportunity because my crew that I'm working with now, I was telling him, listen, we're going to go to places and be in places. I want you to take your shot. Have your conversation with them. Just because I'm going don't mean it's all about me. It's about who we're going to connect with. It's how we're going to help another one. And so when Ty said, hey, yeah, you know, let's connect and let's do this and responded back, I was really, really surprised, but I thank God for the integrity and the character that he was standing by, which was his word. And so that's just so very important. So when we start talking about a word and how you've been sowing into people, nonprofit, we talked about that. Mm-hmm. Have you been disappointed in the industry where you, you know, kind of really thought I was going to do this or do that, and then it didn't quite go the way you thought?
I think when I think about that, when things don't quite go the way that I want, I think that always happens with a purpose as well, too. Because like I said, this is not my plan, this is his plan. So when things don't go the way that I was thinking that they go, or I don't want to say thinking, when things don't go the way I wanted them to go, that's him talking to me saying, this is not how it's going to go. This is what I'm going to do to put you on track with what has to happen. So, I mean, disappointment is supposed to happen, right? And knowing and understanding where you want to get to, sometimes the road changes. You'll eventually get to where you need to be. And then sometimes you get to places where it's better than what you even ever expected. Mm-hmm. So I never, you know, look at it as a situation to where I feel that things just went wrong. Yeah, disappointment. Yeah, I've been there before. And not a lot. I can't say a lot because I'm still here. There's nothing that threw me completely off track. The road changed. but I stayed focused and I know what it is that I want to do. And I know sometimes that evolves into something else without me not even knowing and understanding. Because even where I'm at right now, talking to you and being into production, I remember it was a time when I was managing artists, like I said before. Mm-hmm. And I thought that that was going to be it. I thought that that was my calling. I felt, you know, very passionate about music. And even though I evolved because I was an artist, and then I started feeling like, you know, I don't want to be an artist. I'd rather give other people that really want to do this an opportunity, because the industry, like I said, once you get to know certain things, there's certain things you feel that isn't you.
Yeah.
And you have to take a step back. I'm like, I don't think I want to be on stage and in the public eye like that. But I know there's other people that I can help guide to get them there if that's what they really want. So, you know, the path can definitely change, but who you are supposed to be and your purpose here, that evolves constantly. So you're never, like, you can say that, you know, I want to encourage people. Yeah. Then you might get put on another platform. You're doing a podcast now. You might have to go into films. You might have to become an author. You never know. It can lead into all of those fields of sharing your gift, you know, aside from just sitting in front of the camera and talking to other individuals. But this is a beautiful thing. You do have a gift with making people open up. I haven't done this in a long time. The last time I sat down and did any kind of podcast or interview had to be well over a decade.
Wow.
But I'm enjoying speaking to you.
Yeah.
But I surprised you by saying that I'm going to come through.
Yeah, yeah, you did.
That's messed up, man. I'm joking with you.
It's just one of those things because, you know.
Nah, people talk.
People talk. Yeah, you know, they do. And they say that, and I'm one of those people. You know, I believe people to the end, to be honest. Until you prove me wrong, then it's something different, because I don't want to have any judgment about anyone, because I don't really want them to judge me like that. Nah, and I really try to be true to my word. So if I say I'm gonna take you out to eat, then I mean I'm going to take you out to eat. That's what I, you know. And I think sometimes we forget that. But I know time happens. Busyness happens. Schedules happen. Things of that nature. So that's why I say it was, you know, if you say a surprise moment for me, was that, for real, to be able to say, hey, because I knew that you have things. Nobody had to tell me everything about you, but you could see that, hey, these are guys that you're moving on. Like I said, we met through Tahid, which is a combination. That was just a DM that I sent them because I love the product, you know. Not thinking he was going to be saying, hey, Hickman, yeah, we could connect and all this. And then it was like, hey, I'm not going to be able to get there during the time. They actually was going to cancel the meeting. And I was like, man, I already bought my ticket. I'm coming in. So he was like, man, after we met and had our meeting, I was like, I got to talk to that guy. Yeah. I think it's worth me coming to meet him. And it was really an amazing time. And then with Tahid, guess what? Last night we were at this restaurant. Mm-hmm. Somebody walked in. And so my media guy, Daniel, said, is that Tahid over there? I said, what are you talking about? Like, I looked at him like, what? I had just sent a message to Starling saying, hey, Starling, I need to connect with y'all before I hit back to DMV, man. And he was like, I said, you know, we're going to do the podcast in the morning. And then he was like, can we get together later on? I said, man, my flight is at 5 and I'm not going to be able to do it. I got to be in the pulpit on Sunday. And so then we started talking about that. But now get back to the restaurant. We're in the restaurant, sitting there with some friends and everything. We talking, discussing everything. And I had met someone over there. He was supposed to eat with us, but then he walked us over there. He said, man, I got to go pick up my girl, so we're not going to be able to meet. I was like, okay. So I had a setting for 8. And so he was, you know, 8 person. Well, 7 of us are sitting there. Tahid is at the bar.
Wow.
You know, just talking and, you know, talking to people and everything. And so we looked at it, music was playing, and I looked at it. I've never been there before. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, I said, that is Tahid.
Look at that.
This is 8-something at night in New York City. I don't know a whole lot of people here. Met him one time, talked to him via Zoom last week, and he was right there. Mm-hmm. So destiny and how God has set things up is so amazing. And then he was like, yeah, we were together. Ty did talk to you. I was like, yeah, man. And I said, we've been communicating. Daniel been communicating with. He said he gonna come. He said he gonna do it.
That's, you know, cause he and I, after we left you guys, we walked with Starling. He dropped us off on 34th Street. Then we wound up going to another bar and we was just kicking it and just talking and stuff. And then he was like, yo, he wanted to make sure I connected with you. I was like, you know, I let him know that I connected. Yeah. Connected with Daniel.
Yeah.
And he sent me your IG. Yeah. So that's, I was like, I reached out, Tahid had gave me your IG because I told him I connected with Daniel. So he was like, here, let me give you his IG. And I'm like, all right, that's when I sent you the message and all of that stuff just to make sure. But that's how it works out though. Yeah. And I'm actually supposed to meet with Tahid tonight to go watch the game because he's going home as well too soon. Yeah, yeah. But look at that. You know, when things like that happen, those are the things that I say you have to pay attention to what you're seeing to know when God is speaking. Yeah. You know, so that's a great story right there. Yeah. What was the name of the restaurant? Yeah,
it was, what was the Rooster?
Red Rooster.
Oh, in Harlem.
Yeah, we were in Harlem. Wow. So we came from here. And remember, I was asking about Central Park, and I was talking about that.
So you was up there.
My wife and I were going there to meet a guy at Portobello. Mm-hmm. And so we were going to his store, and we were laying out some things with that. So we were going with Collins. That's it. So Jessica Collins, the runway assassin, is who we were meeting there. And I was like, wow. No idea, but to get there and to see that, the destiny. And so it was really great to be able to do that. So as I say this right now, what I see and how you're carrying yourself and where you're going, what is your next move? What is on the horizon for Ty?
Right now I'm in the process of writing a short film that I want to that I plan on having in the festivals. Maybe this year, if not this year, next year. ABFF is definitely one of them. The Urban World Film Festival is another festival that I'm aiming for. And of course, you know, we also want to be in, what's the Sundance? You know, those are the things that we want to accomplish. And of course, the one that's here in New York, Tribeca, that's what we're aiming for. But there's another guy that I work with. His name is Jonah. He and I, like, we bounce off of each other with ideas of production and things of that nature, and we're always behind the scenes. But we're also working on something that's going to be kind of big pertaining to Brooklyn Chop House, the owners, and a building process from going into the restaurant field and into other avenues that connect everything and everyone. Wow. So I don't want to get too much into those details because we're still ironing some things out. But, you know, those are the you know, immediate things that I'm doing for myself. Of course, I have clients that need me to do specific things for them. But for me, going in more into the directing field and producer field is what I'm doing now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, the visionary. I mean, when you look at that, I love that because my business is called Clear Vision. It's so visionary. So that's why I say it's all
minds.
Aligning and coming here. And I love the way you changed, the way you got the Z in there and all of that. So, you know, I got double R's and double S's when you're talking about Clear Vision. Mm-hmm. But that means, again, that you see things differently.
Yeah,
and that's what visionaries do. They see things from a different perspective, and then they see things coming over the horizon. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing that you're saying, hey, I'm going to start writing, you know, and I want to put these movies together, and I want to start here. And I hear you say, I want to start here, but I believe I'm going to be there. Mm-hmm. At the same time, what you're doing now is about where you're going and how you're positioning yourself. And that's very important. And we want to tell somebody right now, encourage, listen, it's not where you start, it's how you finish. Everything that happens, you got to know that it's going to be for your good. I get it. It's some of those things we don't always know how we financially going to get it. Where is the money coming from? Who's going to have the studio, you know, or who's going to show me those things? Where are the mentors? And you have to still keep your vision before you. Still keep growing your vision because, as you said, right now, he said, Encourage Nation is right here doing it. But God may have a plan to have you bigger than that, doing some other things or shift you. And he's not knowing. He's speaking to things that I know is supposed to happen in future. He and I never had a conversation. But that's something that you can pick up through the energy that we're talking about. And what I'm sitting here talking to Ty, I'm looking at him saying, man, he's like a little brother now. I'm looking at him like man, he'd be like a little brother to be just kind of here. Yeah, I'm older.
I'm older than you. Yeah. No, I'm just
I try to tell him, I say, I'm the older, so I'm the big bro. But you know, when you look at that, that's amazing that you do that and the level of connectivity in hearing that vision. And I'm glad and just honored to have the time to be able to sit down with you here in New York on our last opportunity to be here. But it's a many to come. We're speaking that, believing those things and how the collaboration come. But it's through connection with people. You got to know when things happen, connections, and how things are being connected. So if you were on our last question, I'm going to have you. But, you know, again, Encourage Nation, you're going to have to share this, like this, and all this kind of stuff, and comment, because I believe I need him again. This is not even enough time, but it's just an introductory time, because he's going to be doing greater things, and I definitely want to be able to keep talking to that and keep encouraging him with that, because I'm that guy that like that net that's on your ear, move. But that's a good thing, because that's somebody who's going to keep speaking into you, keep going. What it is you do. So now when we say connection, again, who are you seeing? What do you believe the next connection? I know that you are already doing this. Mm-hmm. You're doing some things. There might be somebody you want to work with. You say, I believe that in the future, I like what they're doing. And I believe the connection is going to happen where I'll be able to do some of those things. Or, mm-hmm. like you said, I got something else, something that I have. It might be my daughter. You mentioned the family, all those things. I saw a family man, meaning that I'm my daughter. You mentioned it several times. Mm-hmm. So I said, the connection now. What do you believe in that Ty is going to connect to or connect with or who? What else is that?
Well, I'm always being told that I'm definitely going in the right path. Things may change. But at this current moment, I just feel that with the film, I'm going to connect. I don't want to say a name, but okay. I feel the okay. energy of me connecting with someone that I don't want to say always wanted to work with, but possibly that I never thought I would get the opportunity to work with. And in some form or fashion, they're going to be able to mentor me to get me to where I need to be. Because I think that's the one thing. Having a mentor is very important.
Right.
And without that, without, like, you know, the same way I like to give to the younger kids that I work with, even though I'm a grown man, I still need some guidance in the fields that I haven't been. And I always look at myself as a student of life.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how old I get, I'm still willing to learn, and I'm still willing to take direction, even if it's someone that's younger than myself. A younger person could be a mentor that
Absolutely.
I work with. You know, there's a lot of people that know things that I just don't, that I need to know in this field. But as far as with connections, I just, like I said, I think it's not a face, it's not a name. I just think it's going to be someone that I least expected myself to be able to work with. And you know who has the wheel?
Yeah.
I'm just a passenger right now, just waiting to see where he's going to drop me off next.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's, we mentioned that mentoring. Bishop Daniel Robinson is my mentor. He's our covering. He's part of the reason why I'm here, to be honest, because I even sent him the original podcast. I was like, what do you think about it? He said, you've got everything, and I believe this is going to help tie your fashion, your entrepreneur, your business, and your ministry, and your faith walk into one environment where people will be able to see things different. They'll be able to step out and see something on a whole nother level. So find yourself someone that can help to mentor you to your proper connection.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Mentor you to your proper connection. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that'll help you, guide you. They're the ones who'll also tell you, hey, this is not what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid and don't get upset if your mentor say you might need to shift your circle of people that you're hanging with. Because sometimes they can step back and see some things that you don't see because you're too close to it. And so be able to take that advice, because as Ty said, he said, there's some things I saw, some environments I was in, but I wouldn't do it that way. And that didn't quite stir me up and bring that fire, but it was something to kind of say, you don't want to go down that path. Pivot is a good word. Pivot.
That's the best word.
Yeah. Got to pivot.
Yeah.
And so as we get ready to move, we get ready to end this one. Mm-hmm. Look, the frames that he has on, I got mine too, but I ain't have more today, is by Tahid. Come on.
Heed NYC. Oh, and let's speak about that too. There's something that I saw on your page, right? And it was about, you know, you was talking to the young gentleman as far as, like, you know, building your wardrobe, have those authentic pieces.
Yeah.
And you had on a piece that I planned on getting. When I saw it, I'm like, man, that looked good on you too.
What was that? What was that?
It was the Heed leather piece.
Oh, the jacket.
And he was like, you see, this is a piece. I won't wear this every day, but it's just a standout piece. Yeah. And the way you was breaking it down to how you can collect your pieces to build your wardrobe, you want your the way you present yourself is very important.
Yeah.
And I look through your page. You present yourself very well in each and every of your posts as well. So I definitely got to hand it to you. Definitely keep yourself sharp. Yes, man.
All right. Encourage Nation, I appreciate you. Thank you again for tuning in. The content, everything that is happening right now. You know what it is. It's about our faith base. It's what we do. It's about how, again, that we as entrepreneurs and how we continue to keep moving through this thing called life and how we surround ourselves with positive people. Again, here in New York City, I mean, you can do nothing but feel energy. So New York City, I love you all. I appreciate the opportunity to be in your city. I appreciate my next return because I know I'm coming back on multiple occasions. So again, thank you for supporting. Make sure that you share this. Make sure you like it. Something, encourage us. I get encouraged by those who are also saying, what did you get out from this? And hopefully it'll be somebody, that one person that said, I appreciate you all's candor and how you went through what you did and how you all connected. And it looked like y'all been knowing each other forever. That's when you know you've got the right connection. So again, I want to tell you what, I'm Dr. Hickman. Come on, I'm your professor. I'm your friend. I'm your cousin. Come on, I want you to do this. Step into it. All right, Encourage Nation. I appreciate you all. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll catch you later. Go. I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning, yeah. Everything around me winning, yeah.